My name is Catherine Clark, and I am the owner of Brooklyn General Store.
Hello, makers. Welcome to the Making Conversation podcast, where we chat all about making, the app, and the act. My name is Jen, and I'm head of marketing for Making. My pronouns are she, her, and my Making app username is Knit Pearl. We are at Brooklyn General Store, and I'm about to talk with Catherine Clark. I have been in love with a store even before I met Catherine and have made many online purchases from here. After becoming friends with Amy, Labby and Amy, and her introducing us, I fangirled for a second and then, you know, I moved on and now we've become really good friends. So let's chat with Catherine.
And I'm also a midwife and a designer.
So which came first? The midwife or the yarn shop?
Oh, I'm also a mom of three kids. So that came first. But I think what came first is the midwifery. I was a midwife for like 10 years or so, and I was like, oh, I need to do something more creative. So I opened the store in about 2002.
Nice.
I mean, not about. In 2002.
Okay. What is time? Let's rewind a little bit. Mm-hmm. What is your maker journey? When did your craftiness and creativity all begin?
Very young. I was probably 4. And my mother taught me how to knit.
Oh.
And so at the same time, pretty much the same time, my father's mother also helped me a lot. And I never stopped. Mm-hmm. I never stopped doing it. Like, I never had a break. I just kept going.
Wow.
And it's interesting. My mom, she was really into crafts. So she had this business. Like, I mean, she was a full-time mom when we were little, but she had this business making crafts, and she would go to craft shows. And I was like her worker bee.
I
loved it so much. I was like, we made like little pins, like little felt things, little rainbows. And then I used to bring the things that I made to these craft shows with her. And so I had my own little business when I was like, you know, 10, 11, 12 with my mom. And
always a business lady.
Yeah. I mean, and it was just that's really like how I started. And it wasn't knitting necessarily, but it, some things were knit and some things were sewn. A lot of sequins.
Was this like, I'm going to reinvest this money into my business? Or were you like, I'm a kid and I'm going to go buy candy with it?
No, I saved it. I saved it. And then I ended up buying a car like when I was, you know, in high school. Then I started sewing kind of bigger projects when I got a little bit older, like on the sewing machine. I used to make my own clothes. But I really started getting back to knitting early in my high school years.
Mm-hmm.
And I would knit all the time.
Were all of your friends like also makers, or were you solo knitting?
Solo.
Got
I was solo. Well, except with my mom and my sisters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, but my friends, I can't remember any friends doing that stuff with me. I had a teddy bear business. So I used to make teddy bears. I was a teddy bear collector as a kid. I had like hundreds of teddy bears, and I used to put them all in my bed, and then I would sleep on the floor. So I decided, I'm going to see if I can make one of these. So I did, and I used to come into Manhattan with like a bag full of teddy bears and go to like Rockefeller Center and sell them on the street when I was in high school. Yeah, that was fun. That didn't last that long, but I was in the paper, and, you know, it was funny.
Oh, my gosh. So you grew up in this area?
I grew up in Westchester.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, so I just took the train down and, with my bag of bears.
Bag of bears to Rockefeller Center. Mm-hmm.
And then in college, I knit a lot during class and after class. And I started designing sweaters right after I got out of college.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, there was nothing computerized about knitting. So I just like drew my charts and graph paper, and I never reproduced them. And, you know, they're just, I have a folder full of all my charts for my color work. I haven't, you know, gotten those into the computer land yet.
Do you think you ever will?
No.
Or no?
No, they're hideous. They are. They're really...
So we've got some honesty here.
I mean, you know, I have one that's like New Mexico, and, you know, there's like mountains, and I have one that's like a stained glass window, and one that's just like circles everywhere. They're not something that you could recreate.
Challenge accepted. No. I that could be a fun thing though to like.
Oh wait, I have one that has sperm and uterus and menstrual cycle.
Yeah,
and I did this sweater for my midwife when I was pregnant.
Oh my gosh!
And I made all the bodily parts, and then I gave it to her. Yeah, so no one's gonna make that one.
I mean, I don't know. This could be a thing.
I don't know what happened to any of those sweaters, though, honestly. Like, the actual sweaters.
Do you have anything from when you first started knitting or sewing still with you?
I have a cape, like a French lieutenant's woman kind of cape.
Nice.
That I made in high school. And it was one of my first sewing projects. But knitting, no.
No.
Well, no, I don't think so.
Okay. I still have my scarf thing.
Your scarf thing? What's that?
It's what I call it because, like,
scarfy.
If somebody now it has a name, you know how like typically everybody's first project is a scarf, and it's never straight, so we call it a scarf thing.
I think my first scarf thing was a little scarf for one of my bears.
Oh my gosh, that's so
in
cute.
in the rainbow yarn, you know?
Yeah,
the rainbow polyester yarn.
I love it. So it's midwifery, correct?
Midwifery.
Okay.
Very good.
I needed to make sure that I was saying it right. Yeah. Was it your midwife that like inspired you to start, or were you already a midwife?
I was already a midwife.
Okay.
I was in midwifery school when I was pregnant with my first. I basically like went to college, came to New York. I worked for like 2 years at a birth center. You know, I was like looking through the Village Voice, finding jobs the way we used to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a job at a birth center, and I worked for a sculptor.
Oh, wow.
And sculpture was my thing in college. I was an art major, and sculpture was my concentration. Since I was at the birth center, I started to get into wanting to be a midwife then. Mm-hmm. So that was right after college.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to school pretty quickly. And then I finished my midwifery in 1995.
And you said that your office is across the street from here, mm-hmm. is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and you still practice midwifery.
Yes.
Amazing.
I don't deliver babies anymore.
Got it.
I stopped delivering babies about 2 years ago.
Was it just too much
tired.
With the...
Hello?
You know, yeah. Because it could happen at any point.
Yes, and I was a solo practitioner, so it was, you know, I was on call 24/7 for a very long time. It was just a part of way of life for me. Like, it was my daughter's birthday, her 16th birthday, I think, and I had somebody in labor.
Mm.
And I, like, she wasn't actually, like, actively delivering, and the hospital is just a few blocks down the road, and I was like, I have to go make my daughter a cake,
yeah.
You know? I was like, I have to do it. I have to. So somebody covered me, and I ran home. I baked a cake. We ate the cake. You know, sang happy birthday, and then I like ran back to the hospital.
Wow.
Like literally. And she delivered probably like 15 minutes after I got back. I know.
She'll never
let me forget that.
No,
she's like, you left
not.
Me.
Yeah.
Like, no, I didn't. I came back.
Goodness.
Anyway, yeah, so it was a challenge.
It sounds like a very beautiful job, but also a very stressful job.
Yeah, it's all the things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sad, it's joyous, it's. Yeah. Important, empowering. It was an incredible career choice.
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommend it if you work with other people.
Yeah,
can cover you
if you. Yeah. So you had your midwifery office space
mm-hmm.
across the street,
mm-hmm.
and then one day you looked across the street and like. The clouds opened up and the angels started singing and rays of sun came down upon this shop.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened, right?
No. So what happened?
Like, absolutely.
What
not.
Happened? So I had my office, my little midwifery office in the basement of my house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was easy to do it there because I had three young children, and so I could run downstairs and see a patient and like lock the door and then make sure, you know, like listen, make sure nobody was like beating each other up. And then in the front, I had my shop, my yarn store.
So when did you?
So it was like the waiting
yarn
room
store.
Was the yarn store?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Can you
just
imagine going
people
to your GYN and having a yarn store in front of it? Maybe I should bring that back.
Yes, there you go.
I had this very close friend, Katie, and she and I, our kids were all the same age, and we were, you know, mom friends and park friends, and we were sort of obsessed with Little House on the Prairie, and our kids, you know, we would make our kids watch it. So we could watch it. And we love the idea of the general store, the Olson's Mercantile.
Yeah. Oh.
And so we, that's how it started. Like plus we were big crafters. We always were doing homeschool days where we would just stay home with our kids and make things instead of sending them to school.
Yeah.
We used to get our supplies from the, what was it called? It was that catalog, Magic Cabin. Do you remember that?
No.
It was like a Waldorf-y kind of catalog.
And,
and then we were like, well, there's no place to get stuff like in person, you know, like the wool felt and all the things that you make with, you know, with really good materials. So we were like, let's do it. So we opened a shop together initially in my basement with some fabric and some felt and some tools. And I think we had like a box of kid silk haze and Rowan silk tweed. And, you know, like we started out with Rowan. There wasn't any indie dyers back then. I mean, it took me years to come over to the indie dyed side of things.
Oh.
I did not like it. I was like, ew.
Okay, but now you have to explain why.
I don't know. I just liked the purity of, you know, kettle dyed. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know why. I just didn't. I thought it was new to me, you know.
Yeah.
I was like,
you think it's going to be scary sometimes.
Yeah, I was terrified. I was like, I don't want to have all those choices, you know. It was just, but anyway, now I love it.
Of course.
Because it's like Christmas.
Yeah. I like to see who the people are. Do you want to do like a welcome? But this is what the store looks like from the outside.
Welcome.
So okay.
Here we have our beautiful display of box deliveries.
Gorge.
This is our Shetland wall. It's all Spindrift. Love it. It's my favorite. One
beautiful.
Of my favorites.
Yeah.
This is my Oak Lane design.
Oh, yes. I will say, this was very popular at the booth.
This is
we had many a people asking.
Design. Look. Just squirrel.
Oh, my goodness. Hello. Does the squirrel have a name?
That squirrel?
Yeah. I think you should name it.
I should. Oh, I have to think about that.
Yeah.
It actually looks like my dog.
Vanna.
This is the button area and ribbon area.
Nice.
This is our spin cycle display. It's all spin cycle. This is our Noctuide color. Look at that. Oh, this is all one colorway.
Ooh, wow.
We've been carrying spin cycles since, I think, like right after they opened.
That's awesome.
I remember meeting Rachel. She came to the shop a very long time ago when they were still doing their hand spinning.
Mm-hmm.
Before they went into like major production. It's organized by weight. So it starts with lace and fingering and sock. And it goes down the wall all the way to the end is bulky and super bulky.
So how do you choose the brands that you work with and the colors?
Always start with the blue, and then I build. And I think when I'm thinking of putting a palette together, I'm always sort of looking at a painting, and specifically a fresco painting.
Ooh.
So, you know, you have like the chalky, I love the chalky blues and reds and like clay kind of colors and yellows. And then when I put the palette together, I always like put in the little pops.
The pops.
Yeah, the pops.
I like that.
I like to actually speak to the maker on the phone and sort of do like a little vetting, you know, that they are aligned with sort of my sensibility and that they aren't gonna, you know, sell to somebody that's across the street or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, which is technically your shop. Across the street.
Right.
Yeah.
Sell to me.
Tell us the story about it with Amy. Oh. How you came to be friends and carry her yarn.
I found out about La Bien Aimée probably about maybe a year or so after she started dying. And I was persistent, shall we say. I emailed her several times. And she wasn't ready to wholesale. And then she came to visit me. I didn't know she was coming, but she came into the shop and I was here, luckily. And I saw her and I think I may have hugged her.
Just ran up.
I think I may have actually done that.
Yeah.
And she, about a week later, she wrote to me and said she was ready.
That's great.
And then I put my first order in.
Wonderful.
And it's really fun to work with Amy. She's like, I mean, you know her. She's just super hardworking and, you know, she's like me. She loves to brainstorm about new ideas and new businesses and, you know, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. Yeah, I love that. This is a design in the making.
Sneak peek.
What? So, oh, there it is.
Wonderful. Grabber. The grabber.
Okay, so this is the first sweater I designed for Pom Pom. And this is Ishel. And these are the moons. And this is actually, for me, about women's power and their connection with the lunar cycle. This is Bela.
Beautiful.
And see the bees?
Yes.
These are the worker bees, and this is the queen with her crown. These are more workers. And this is clover. Sometimes it's about just what I'm thinking about in, you know, for a period of time, like this one. This is called Free to Fly, and this was when my youngest was going to college.
Aww.
And I was kind of like really sad, but also like really happy to be kind of freed from that responsibility.
Yeah.
Of course, you're never free from it. It was all a myth, and... even though your kids go to college, you're still their mother. Also, when I'm designing something, I do like a deep dive on the subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
So, like for example, for like the moths, the Noctuidae, I got books on moths. I looked at, you know, I was like, what do they do? You know, I learned all kinds of things about moths while I was knitting that sweater.
Mm-hmm.
And same with the bees. I've got a book on Tammy from Wing and a Prayer sent me all her bee books. And so, you know, it's kind of like a little meditation on the subject matter. That's the design.
Love that. So, is there any irony to this sweater at all? The fact that it's a knitted wool sweater with moths? Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I do have a sense of humor too.
Yeah.
It's
true.
I actually, this is more about the thought that moths are not as pretty as butterflies.
Oh.
And that it's not really true.
It's not true.
No. So it's about seeing beauty in things that are typically not seen as beautiful.
Oh.
This is my Cladonia. This was another sweater I did for Pom Pom This is lichen.
I liken it.
Right? I was waiting for that. Oh, this one's good.
Oh, that's great.
This is my uterus cowl. Mine.
Mine.
I'm not going to do a sweater in this.
It doesn't say lawmaker.
This
Congress,
is the wish
president.
Wishcraft. Yeah.
How long was the yarn shop there before you moved over here?
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And then you were like, I need to get a bigger space. We need more room.
But also this place came up for rent.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's perfect, you know, and it's right nearby. And the move was hilarious. We just like threw everything in like contractor bags.
Yeah.
And all of my customers came and we did this like, we just trotted across the street with the garbage bags.
That's so cute.
I know.
Love
it was
that
really
customers
cute.
Came.
Yeah. Cause what is that? It's just yarn and stuff,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I think when we first moved in here, I think the yarn took up like just like the first four
shelves.
Wow. You know, it
yeah.
was like, I was like, oh, what am I gonna do? Now look at it. It's insane.
Fine, I'll do the Indie Dyers. So the name came from the obsession with the store.
The general store.
The general
yes,
store.
Yes, yes. And we wanted to be a place that was for all makers, not
yeah.
just knitters. Yeah.
Yeah. We were at Vogue mm-hmm. Knitting Live, and mm-hmm. Catherine was so generous to invite Making to share space with us. So we did some interview questions.
Okay.
And with different makers. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you a few of those questions, modified to a one-on-one situation in a yarn shop, with a yarn shop owner. What is one thing that you feel like we are doing well as a maker community, and what is one thing that you think we can improve on?
We are doing a good job at promoting each other.
Lifting each other up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always feel happy when someone else's success. And I think
yeah.
that, I think that's true, you know, pretty much across the board. I think that mm-hmm. it's a community where there's not like this compare and despair kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure there are some people that feel that way, but
yeah.
I do think that for the most part, everyone is just happy to lift each other up.
And then I think the people who aren't, they kind of find their own way out.
Mm-hmm. And then let's see, what can we improve on? Is mm-hmm. that the other question?
Yeah.
Can I come back to that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is kind of like our stationery area. It's kind of not that tidy right now. These are all our fat quarters, which we love making for quilters. We put fabrics together, combos of fabrics. This is our embroidery wall, where we have floss and needles and some sewing supplies. And then we have the fabric all back here.
Yay! This wall makes me happy.
Yeah. It's a nice one. We need more room for fabric. We need another shelf.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly. We just got this delivery. We're still not sure where to put it. But this is all our fabric. And it's got some Liberty of London up here. Oh, look. Oh, I wasn't speaking into the microphone.
It's okay. Hey,
that's it. I made my pants out of this.
So you were going to come back to the thing that you feel like the maker community could do better with, and as we were wandering the store, you
mm-hmm,
remembered.
Mm-hmm,
you realized what we needed to say.
I think that there is a little bit of a rift between the local wool, all wool, no superwash, yarn maker, farmed needle kind of community.
Yeah.
And the indie dyers. And I wish that was not true.
Yeah.
I wish that people could realize that we need everybody.
Yeah.
And it's all about the knitters anyway. So mm-hmm. if they want to knit with indie dyed yarn, it doesn't mean they're not going to knit with local wool.
Yeah.
Or 100% wool or woolly wools. You know, it's, they would just want all of it.
Community over competition. Mm-hmm. We we just had a reel explode because Quaylen had talked about using acrylic yarn because Quaylen likes to do things that ensure accessibility for his audience. And there were a lot of people in the comments saying...
No likey.
No likey. But, like, just because, like, you don't have to use acrylic yarn. Right. But let's not shame people.
Yeah.
Because we want to be accessible.
Right.
We want to be welcoming.
Right.
And we want to show each other the same love that we put into, like, every stitch that we put, you know, into the sweater or the cowl or whatever we're making on.
I think, it, you know, financially, I think maybe there's some feeling that one is pushing the other out of the market. But I don't think that's actually true. I don't.
No.
I think that people, knitters, spend money on yarn, all kinds of yarn.
Yes.
And the more we can get along together and, you know, collaborate on things, and we can, you know, there's enough to go around.
Yeah.
There's enough yarn in all different types of yarns to go around for all different types of people who like different types of things to
get.
Right.
Does that same, do you feel like that same divide is any, in any other of the, like, craft communities of, like, supply makers?
Well, I do know there is some, I don't know, like, personally if that's true, but I think that there is also a similar situation with fabric.
Interesting.
And, having fabric that's sustainable and, like, where the supply chains are all visible versus fabrics that you don't know what impact they're having on their, that community, the dyeing of it, the, you know, the wastewater.
There's lots of change happening in the crafting space and in the maker space. And change, you know, some of it is sad, but some of the changes are, like, cool things happening and new things happening and, like, it's good changes. So what... are you really excited about that's been happening over the last few years?
I love the new kind of explosion of indie maker marketplaces that are popping up.
Yeah.
Sacred Sheep with Rachel and Flock. And I think that there's going to be more of those popping up, which is really fun. It's, and it's, I know how hard it is to put together a festival, and I'm really impressed with these women who are, who both own yarn stores and are doing these festivals, because it's so much work. And it's hope amazing. That, I hope that we'll have some more on the East Coast and maybe in other parts of the country, and, you know, that people will be inspired by that. And that more and more little festivals will pop up, and we can go and see all the different parts of the country. And
I know. Okay, well, I was going to ask you where, like, if there was any places that were, like, ripe with opportunity. So maybe it's that, like, doing that in the middle of the country.
And keeping it small. Like, you don't have to, you don't have to have, like, a massive festival to sort of itch that itch. You can, you can just have a nice, cozy.
I will say this year Flock is going to be much bigger.
Yeah.
But with Jess kind of being at the helm, I feel like it's still going to feel that same community feeling.
Yeah.
That was actually something that we, that came up a lot this last weekend, was just, like, the different feelings between the different festivals. Like, it's so fun to see everyone. It's so fun to go buy yarn and, you know, hang out. But there's, there is a clear, like, feeling of, like, community and then consumerism, or sometimes it's the opposite,
right?
But they still exist.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of it has to do with the person who puts it together.
At the top.
At the top.
Community and then consumerism.
Yeah.
It is a challenge for me as a business owner to be part of that.
Yeah.
And have to, you know, make money selling yarn.
Yeah.
I wish that I could just not have to do that, but that's what I do.
Just give away the yarn.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like sometimes it feels like, you know, there's so much consumerism in this country and it seems kind of excessive.
We're going to be launching the marketplace soon.
Yes.
So
excited.
Finished goods. I know. I'm so excited about that. Finished goods and supplies you will be able to purchase. Right now it's PDF patterns from designers, but we've been thinking a lot about like kind of this, right? Mm-hmm. Like there is so much consumerism. People go and just buy yarn and then they stash it and then
it stays there.
It's a lot, right?
And there's doesn't already always a lot get in the knit world. Into anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a huge stash of yarn, but I have a couple of skeins of yarn that, you know, or a couple of groupings of skeins of yarn that I'm like, I'm not really, that color is not really me anymore.
Yeah.
I never really did anything with it. I wish that there was a place where I could just put it up on a website or in an app for free and that somebody would just and have to pay shipping. Just,
yeah.
So that's what we're
like
gonna
Freecycle.
Do. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's an idea of ours that's hopefully going to be implemented soon. And
I would like to take part of that.
In great.
That. Yes. And, you know, when you have a yarn store, you have to, it's real estate, right? So you have to, if stuff doesn't sell, you got to just give it away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that you do.
Yes. Like,
you can't just keep it forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that part.
Mm-hmm.
About earning,
there you go.
Yarn store. Wow. So it would be great for the shops, too. Not just the humans that are makers. Very,
yeah. Totally.
Yeah. That's awesome. Look at that, Ashley. Customer research happening right here in the podcast recording. So, obviously, Brooklyn General has been a thing for like 21 years, which is amazing. But I know you, and there's always something that's coming down the pipeline that's new. I don't know why I just did that, but that was It's the dancing that you...
Oh,
we haven't even talked about that.
Oh, okay.
We recorded a lot earlier that didn't record, so...
Take two.
Yeah.
Last year, I had a little party at Rhinebeck called A Woolen Affair, and it was super chill and easy and fun, and there was... I had a little bit of yarn to sell there, but it wasn't really... It wasn't about the yarn selling. Like, I sold a little bit of yarn. It's just like... I had to bring something.
Community over consumerism.
Right. And one of our yarn dyers, Amy from Little Fox, she and her husband Brian sang. And they were so good.
Oh,
like, they're very talented musicians, and they came and they serenaded us all night, and we had bonfires and really good food and just, you know, a bar, and it was like we were all just hanging out in an orchard in a tap room, and I'm gonna do that again this year.
Yes,
I think it's gonna be on Friday.
Okay,
instead of Saturday. It was last year. It was Saturday, and it was a little challenging too, because they have their open farm day on Saturday, and we had to turn around the event space in like 45 minutes.
Oh my god.
I was so nervous. I was like, the last call is now at 5? Like, we're starting at 6. Anyway, it was but they were great. They knew what they were doing. I didn't know that they were going to be so efficient at their turnover. But
amazing.
But still, I would rather do it on a day when we don't have that.
What's the vibe? Like, how many people-ish?
Last year, we had 200 people.
Okay.
And I think that's probably a good size
yeah.
for the party part.
Yeah, yeah.
But if we do it on Friday, we can do like an all-day thing. And then we would have probably timed entry so that people could come for a few hours and then leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can accommodate more people.
Wonderful. Is there anything else that you want to talk about that's...
I don't want to give away any secrets.
Yeah, okay. We're not. There are secrets that we cannot talk about. That's what we've learned. Your life is all about making.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the act of making, obviously, you own a shop. Is there anything that you do that is not related to making at all?
I do go out once a week with my girlfriends and dance.
Dance.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to put some music on. No, I'm just kidding. What kind of dancing?
Just regular.
Just move your body.
Yeah. The band that I listen to is Western Swing.
Oh, nice. Yes. Yeah. Will you show us across the street?
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
sure.
Let's go do that.
Okay.
Adventure time.
Okay.
Hey, Sal.
Where are we headed, Catherine?
Bluebird Midwifery.
Ooh. All right.
I hear June. She's at school today.
Oh, my gosh, that's so funny. Oh, school's right there.
I told you I don't leave my block.
You don't?
So this is my office. My little name there. This is my sign that used to be hanging up. I took it down. Needs some repair. This is where the old Brooklyn General store was. This is the first location.
Wow. Ooh. Got some great art.
Beautiful.
This was the OG BGS.
Yep. So this is my waiting room now.
Nice.
And then this is my actual office back here.
Okay, this door.
That door has a story.
Okay.
So when I found this door, I was like mesmerized by the glass.
It's gorgeous.
And during its move around the house when we renovated, it was completely broken, shattered. One of the contractors broke it. There was a local glass person down on like a couple blocks away, and I was determined to recreate it. And so she gave me the glass, and I put tape on. This is all like I made these. So I put tape. She covered the glass with tape, wow. And I cut it out with an X-Acto knife. All of the clear spots is where the tape remained, and all of the opaque spots are where she sandblasted it. So I brought her my pieces of glass with all the tape on it, and she put it through her machine, and then I got my door again.
Yay!
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Yeah. So this
more cool glass.
Yes, this it did not break.
That's good.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is my office. Here's my exam room.
Oh, we've got stirrups, folks.
Yep. With pot holders. That's it.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks for showing us around.
Sure.
I mean, she contains multitudes, you know?
She contains multitudes. She can deliver your baby and then knit a sweater.
Oh, okay.
And
so
sell you the yarn.
So here's my customer story.
Oh, yes. Okay. So we were talking earlier across the street. Was there like a memorable customer story?
Mm. It's not actually one customer, but it's a handful of customers. So in my years of being a midwife, a lot of my clients were knitters.
Nice.
So there was like quite a nice overlap, and sometimes they would come for their appointment, and all we'd do is help. Like there would be like a knitting help session.
Yeah,
you're like, wait, I'm fine, but can I just show you my knitting? So that happened a lot, and then some of my customers would schedule their appointment so that we would end right before the store opened, and so then I would run across the street, open up the shop. And after I just, you know, saw their parts, they would come over. They'd come over and I would say, hi, can I help you? And they would come to the knitting store. Yeah. So I had several midwife customers that were also makers.
That's great.
Yeah. And that was really fun.
Yeah.
Putting my
the crossover.
Using my two hats.
Yes.
In the same day with the same people.
Cool.
This is a little known fact, but my Bluebird logo came from a button card, the Bluebird Button Company. Here, I'll put them right here.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with buttons.
Well, that's why you have a little spot in your shop.
I know. I mean, I'm really, like, really, I love vintage buttons and vintage button cards. I love the design of them. mic away now.